Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, including iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And as always, my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Good evening.
Close to a year ago, I did a show at Flappers, and I was looking for a comedian to come on the show. And irony of ironies, I found on Instagram this comedian who was fantastic and just such an interesting story. I couldn't wait for her to get on the podcast. Of course, life got in the way and she hasn't been able to do it till now. But here she is, comedian, poet, activist, inspiration. Not Laura Hernandez, as I've been pronouncing it, but Laura Hernandez.
Laura. Yeah, thanks everybody. Laura.
Laura.
Laura, like say it Laura.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
If it's too Laura, you're too old. So I guess that's what you do.
And up to 11.
I guess so, yeah. Anyway, before we get started, I did want to say that it's freaking hot here in Los Angeles. It's 103 degrees by my computer, but I think it's probably hotter. So if you want to quench your thirst and also have lots of energy, this is what you need to get. Raise energy drink. Where's the R? There's the R. Raise energy drink. This is the best. You can't get this in 7-Elevens. You can't get this in supermarkets, but you can get it at gyms, GNCs, or better yet, get it the cheap way. Use our code, which is in the description of your podcast catcher or the YouTube that you might be watching this. You get 15% off a case. You can get this flavor or any flavor. This is Galaxy Burst. And it's so good, and I am so thirsty. Delicious. Refreshing. Best thing about Raise, zero calories, zero carbs, zero dyes, zero crash. So get your case of Raise energy drink for 50% off, which our code, which will be in the description. So I'm going to start with Nicole. Nicole, now you, I did a show at Flappers last year. It was Tricks and Treats for Halloween.
Yes.
And you saw Laura perform comedy. What did you think? Describe it for our audience. How that was for you?
Oh, I mean, I remember her. Like, I recognized her right away, but I'm not sure I remember her set. I'm sorry. It's been a year.
I saw you laughing. I remember you were laughing. I saw
she was funny. Yeah, I remember her.
You're not saying that. It's been
about a year.
Like, you're Laura. You're a very memorable person for sure.
And we had a lot of memorable comedians. We had Mistress K, who's the dominatrix of comedy. We had Kristen Lundberg, past podcast guest. We had a lot of really good comedians, but Laura she is memorable now, and she's got. She said she was going to wear an eye patch, so I was thinking maybe you can replace Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, but no, you came with a very steampunky sort of thing for our goth audience, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I was going to wear just a regular plain old black eye patch, but I was like, you know what? I haven't busted out my cyborg patch in a while. Might as well put it on.
That's cool. Like, yeah. When you walk down the street, people think like you're RoboCop and like they get all scared of you.
I wore this before when I went to the Renaissance Fair. I went as like a steampunk. I was like half punk rock and half steampunk. And then my cane, I dressed it up and it had this like box that I made on there, and it said suspect device from what's the name of the band? Something Little Fingers. I'm totally blanking out on their name. But they have a song called Suspect Device. And I was just freaking everybody out. At that time, I could still see a little bit from my left eye, and I could see people's reactions, and they were just like, they didn't know like how to react. You know, they would stop and just stare at me. And some people try to engage like the Renaissance actors, you know, like they were trying to say that I was from the future. And I was like, I am, like, cause it was like the time warp.
Renaissance Fair is weird. Yeah. My ex-girlfriend used to be, she was a prostitute in the Renaissance Fair. She would go every year. So, and by the way, here come the cops to arrest you right on cue, and right here in Hollywood. But
oh, no, man, you found me.
Yeah. Anyway, no, but she used to, I went to visit her at the Renaissance Fair once, and I'm glad we're starting with Renaissance Fair. So she, it was weird because it was a day like today where it was like 100 degrees. So I was wearing shorts because I don't want to pass out. Yeah. And the guy taking the tickets at the Renaissance Fair was like, oh, sir, those are some unusual trousers you're wearing. I'm like, dude, just take the ticket and shut up, Don Rickles, please. And then everybody started pooping on me. And I'm like, because I wasn't cosplayed. But the weird thing, like you say, is that it was Pirate Day and it was Steampunk Day the day that I went. So they had like a steampunk costume contest, and you probably would have won, but they had this one girl who, she dressed her iPad up steampunk style, so it looked like it ran on steam.
Oh, that's cool.
The host was like, what do you call this device, m'lady? And she's like, it's the integrated programmable application device. And the guy's like, oh, integrated with an I. And I'm like, oh, no. That's just too much. But it's so weird. Like, everybody's like, it's just like it would have been in the 1500s. I'm like, there's a taco truck over there. It's not the same. But you had fun at the Renaissance Fair?
Yeah. I was hoping, I was trying to do the contest. That's why I went like totally all out. But ironically, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the area. Like, I went to like, they said it was going to be like where all the food stands were and everything. So I went there. But, I don't know, either I was late or they had, you know, already done it, but I couldn't find it. So I was like, oh, well, like, I'm just going to have fun and drink a lot of beer.
that's a good thing to do at the Renaissance Fair. And Nicole will tell you that the contests are rigged. They're all the Renaissance people's friends.
I bet. Yeah. I have a couple of friends that work there. Like, one of my friends was like one of the washerwomen and stuff. So I would go and I'd try to like, you know, do my part and just like play. I think that's what I like the best about it, is I could play, you know, and it was all right.
Were you a washerwoman at one point?
No, but I let them wash me. Cause you know how it's hot. I'm just like, lather me up with your suds.
Yeah. Jeez, you got my mind racing. But for me, I'm not a big cosplayer, but it sounds like you are.
Well, I like to dress up. So any chance I can get, whether it's Renaissance or October or whatever, like, you know.
Well, what's the best Halloween costume you ever did?
Oh, so I have this mask that's just like one giant eyeball. And
that's great.
Yeah. And I put it on and like, you totally can't see out of it, right? But I didn't need to see, you know, I already know how to walk around life without sight. So I had it on, and then I have these like long skeleton fingers that were like straws, and I just put them on my fingers and I put like candy eyeballs at the end of it. And I went with my nephews trick-or-treating, and like all the little kids were so scared. I called myself the harvester of eyes, and I just like collected eyeballs.
How many did you get?
Pretty good.
I got like maybe 15. Yeah. All the kids, like when they would get eyeball candies, like they would go and they would give them to me. And then I would scare them because I'm like, I don't want these eyeballs. I want your eyeballs. And they would just run away.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're 10 minutes in, so I should probably mention that people who don't know you, Laura, is that you're blind.
Yeah.
I probably could have led totally with that, blind. But yeah, so that this will inform the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, I'm totally blind. So blind that I don't even have eyeballs anymore.
Right.
They took them out.
You had them last time we saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people could tell because like my right eye was like a lazy eye, so it would always look to the left. And now it's not that anymore. And this one is it's a prosthetic.
Right.
So
which was kind of cool though. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's I maybe not now, but like if this was the 70s, you'd have like that Sammy Davis Jr. Columbo sort of thing going on. I would dig it, but I don't know if you're aware of people that have like had glass eyes that people like do like weird impressions of, but
yeah.
So they talk about how like senses get heightened when you lose one. Do you have a favorite sense? Like my favorite sense is probably taste, I would say. Like what is, do you have like a something you like, do you like music, so you like hearing, or do you have a favorite sense?
I think it would definitely be hearing, because I love music. I love different types of sounds, sound effects, and just funny noises people make or conversations. Because when I'm out, like at a restaurant, I can hear everybody's conversation, like multiple conversations at the same time. And sometimes I'm just like chuckling to myself, and my mom's like, "What are you laughing at?" I'm like, "Oh, whoever that is all the way to the left, you know, like they're just saying some like weird shit right now." You know, or I'll be like, "Oh my God, that person to the right is so dramatic." You know, and just listen to little things like that, you know. I like
that. You're very perceptive because Nicole's to your right, so she is very dramatic, but no, I'm kidding. But
I think I'm the least dramatic people, but I have a temper.
I'll stop right there. But you do hear things that other people don't hear.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. It kind of works against me though. Sometimes it's like, am I schizophrenic or what? Like, are these voices even real? Like, I don't know. But I
or maybe you're not. Right? Maybe you're just hearing voices. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think your senses are attuned, and that you are very good at listening to other people's stuff, but you're also just good at tuning in on whatever you find interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tune things in and out. Like
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, no, they're having a private conversation. I don't want to listen or hear my parents having sex. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that shit. So.
Oh, that's gotta be the worst.
Heightened
senses while you're, oh God. I'm glad you're still having it, but still, that's nice.
Yeah, I definitely like to put it that way, Mark.
What's that?
I walked past my adopted parents having sex once. I was on my way to the bathroom, and I heard the noises. And my first thought was, "Good for them."
Well, when I was a kid, I lived in a motorhome, and my parents were still sexually active. So, like you know, if it was rocking, and it was hard to. It was hard to keep balance when you're trying to get a glass of water in 2 a.m. And yeah, so it's a little weird, but you know, they were pretty quiet. I got to be honest with you. Unless I had Lauer's hearing, I don't think I would have heard him. But
I was going to say, you could tell when it was almost going to be over. Cause you know,
because the motorhome is going like this back and forth. I'm taking my computer and shaking it back and forth, Lauer, just so you know. Yeah, it's like, okay, now I can get some sleep. Yeah, this is what the conversation is going to be. We're going to touch on Marfan syndrome. We're going to touch on blindness. We're going to touch on your inspiration story and all of that. But I probably get some background on you. And now, were you born in Minnesota or what's a Minnesota connection?
I don't have any connections to Minnesota except for there's a fellow comedian, Andy right. Erickson, and she also has Marfan syndrome. So I had reached out to her when I saw her on Last Comic Standing, because I was like, I at that time had never met anybody else in person that had Marfan syndrome. So I reached out to her and we became really good friends. And then we went to Minnesota together for like the Marfan Syndrome Foundation, their annual conference. Mm-hmm. And we've performed together a couple of times. So that's, and she's from Minnesota. So that's
right. I heard you on a couple things and the conversation, I misheard it that you were connected with her because you guys were from Minnesota, but you connected because you both have Marfan Syndrome.
Yeah. Yeah. Marfan's and then both comedians.
Yeah, that, so. And because trust me, there's you'll find plenty of comedians out here. I mean, everybody does comedy. My dry cleaner is comedy, but
right.
Not a lot with Marfan syndrome. Now, I guess we'll have to slide into it, and we'll get to the fun stuff again in a second. But explain what Marfan syndrome is, because as far as I know, you're the only person I know that has it. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I know people that have it but don't have it as severe as you, but what's
yeah, or maybe they don't know that they have it.
I might have it. I don't know, but was that is that what caused your blindness?
It is, yeah. So it's a genetic disorder, but like I think 20% of everybody like who have it get it as a like a spontaneous mutation. And that's what I got because I'm the only one in my family that has it. So it's genetic, but not for me. Like it was spontaneous. I was chosen.
You're the chosen.
The chosen to live a hard life of surgeries and cutting body parts out. So it affects a lot, pretty much your whole body. It makes people tall and lanky. I'm like double jointed, you know, I got my praying mantis hands.
Yeah.
And so for my eyes, it hit me really hard with my retina. It would stretch my retina, kind of like think like a piece of gum, a chewing gum that you just like stretch until it just rips. And so it just kept stretching and stretching and stretching. And it just kept ripping. And doctors, like I had surgeries to put like buckles and gas bubbles and silicone straps and so many things to try to keep it together. And it could never stop, like, because it was always like a conveyor belt, right? It's continuously stretching. Mm-hmm. So that's how I lost my sight. And then after I lost my sight, my eye became like even worse. Like it actually like collapsed. So it was like, think like a poached egg when you first cut into it.
Oh.
Yeah, like it just like deflated.
I respect you so much for like enduring this and being like such an awesome person.
I respected you when I met you, but I tell you, you know, sometimes people talk about genital mutilation. I start going, or like have John Baker on and talk about pain. I'm like, you're talking about the eye stuff. I'm like, oh no, I'm covering my eyes with my hands. My eyes hurt now.
Yeah, I hope so. That's what I said.
Thank you. You want to cause me pain? Thank you. You're not the first one.
I like to give good visuals and I like to cause eye pain. So I don't know.
You give an eye pain to the rest of the world. We are big in Pakistan and Sweden. So people in Pakistan, Sweden, Germany, Russia, they're getting eye pain too. Ooh,
yeah.
Australia.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. It makes you grateful for the eyeballs you have.
You are sharing your pain with us.
One day, someone might come and steal your eyes.
Yes, it could happen. We live in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now we have a friend of ours that we've had on the show many a time. We should have her back because she's probably the most interesting person in the world. Sin Twisted, who was a contortionist, and she's also as are you, part Indigenous. So I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to put two and two together. Does she maybe have a mild version of Marfan syndrome? I don't know. But the whole thing with the joints, though, I mean, that's got to be.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the eyes. Like, your whole body is affected.
Yes. Yeah. So my ankles, they're double jointed, too. So that's why when I fall, it's usually because my ankles just, like, twist. When I was younger, I could do a lot more like, aerobic things, like legs behind your head and like the whole exorcist thing when she like does the backwards crab walk.
Oh, you could do that?
I used to. Now I'm a little more, I've got my womanly body now. So it prevents me from some of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but, so you just love scaring people. You love doing the exorcist walk, walking around with an eyeball on your head, going to Renaissance festivals and scaring people because you're a cyborg from the future.
Well, look at her, Mark. Got such style.
She always has style, I tell you.
I mean, I feel like when I was younger, like, I would notice how people would always, like, stare at me no matter where I went. It, mostly because I'm, like, the tallest person in, like, all these, like, grocery stores or whatever, you know, like, that I would go to. Especially, like, with other Mexicanos, right? You know, I'm pretty tall. So I'm like, well, fuck, if people are going to look at me, I might as well give them something good to look at, you know. Exactly. Give them something weird.
Well done. Here's the ironic thing. How I met Laura was actually on Instagram. She came up on one of my posts, and I was looking for, we actually had a comedian drop out, and I was looking for another comedian, and you came up, and we started striking a conversation. How is Instagram for a blind person? It's barely tolerable for me. I can only imagine for a blind person.
It's not too bad now. It was pretty awful like a couple years ago, because it wasn't really accessible. Now it's like they're getting the hang of it, right? So with every update, it's more and more accessible. The thing that sucks about it, though, because it's primarily like a photo based app, mm-hmm. right? Is that when I want to take like reels or stories and stuff like that, it's hard sometimes because I can't find the right buttons. Like my phone won't pick it up, and so it takes me a really long time. And that's the only thing that's kept me from like posting some stuff in the last couple of months, is because I want to do more videos. But Instagram, like right when I feel like I got it figured out, there's an update, and then it fucking changes it all up again, and it gets frustrating. But
Nicole and I were talking about that last night. It's just we can never.
They have definitely done an update recently. I've noticed the change in algorithm.
Yes. Yeah. Like now, when I try to like. It used to be when I wanted to do a reel or a post, I would just do that little ad button and then pick which one. And now it's like automatically set to stories. And yeah, it's weird.
Well, is it better for you now that reels are becoming so popular, so you have a lot more audio content?
I do like that. I like that. Except that like not everybody describes what's happening. But I mean, I'm pretty good at picking it up, just like movies, you know, before there was audio description, I would be like, I would have to just pick up the sense of the movie, or, you know, like if I was watching Castaway, I'd be like, okay, so this person's on an island. May not know what he's
Castaway,
doing.
But... if you're blind, that's gotta be just a nightmare.
It sucked. Yeah. It's
like Tom Hanks yelling at himself for 2 fucking hours.
Yeah. It took me a while. I was like, who the fuck is Wilson? Why isn't he talking? I was like,
I'm guessing horror movies are probably better for the blind.
Well, I mean, yeah, because they're screaming. At least I know that, like, you know, somebody got hacked up and I'm like, oh, okay, they're dead.
And you can hear the blood splatter and all this other stuff.
Yeah, but I miss the visuals. Like, I like the visuals.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite movie?
I have a lot of favorite movies. I think the first one that comes to my mind was Dead Alive. Like that movie. And I remember I could see, when I saw it, I could see a little bit of just how, like, cheesy the effects were, but I loved it, you know, like that the little the mom when like her ear falls off, and like the soup that they're eating, you know, and just a lot of stuff, a lot of trauma videos too, just because of the cheesiness. Like, I really like cheesy gory effects. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, the gorier the better. Dead Alive is probably one of the goriest movies I've ever seen, and I love Trauma. Met Mark Hoffman a couple times, and real nice guy. And if I see him again, I'll tell him that the blind love his movies.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
I collect. I have like VHSs and DVDs on, so I have Poltergeist. Remember the first time I saw that? I love Poltergeist. Buy this movie. Yeah. I love it. It's so great. I wish I could have, back when I was in school, maybe gotten into the theater department more, so I could like do my own type of trauma videos, but trauma style videos.
It's never too late. I mean, you're making artistic connections now. But before we talk about how you got into comedy, and I think I saw, now your first stand-up was the Ice House benefit for Mark Ronson. So I did see your first stand-up performance ever, which was in 2017, which I'll be honest was a lot better than my first performance. I'll tell you that. But that's not a high bar to fall. But I know that, you know, your phone, I'm assuming is Braille, powered on Braille, and that's how you're able to navigate.
Not my phone. No, I use VoiceOver, so it's a screen reader. It like talks to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and
that's even better.
Yeah, a lot of times people they're like, oh, it's like Star Trek. I'm like, yeah, it's reality.
Well, I mean, it's the we've had voice on phone for a while. I normally don't use it, but I would if I obviously. But are there emojis? Are there blind emojis now? I mean, are you able to, like, you know, eggplant or whatever?
Yeah. It reads it out loud. So yeah. I use a lot. I'll put like the white cane emoji and like
I didn't know
the horns emoji. Yeah. There's a white cane. There's a guy with a white cane, and then there's a woman with a white cane, and then there's a woman and a man with a service dog. There's so many. Sometimes I'm just like listen through all of them, trying to. There's just an eyeball emoji and eggplant, pumpkin, oh, yeah. Squash.
Yeah, that's universal. But,
Mm-hmm. You know what's the most popular emoji that the blind community uses?
Oh, please tell me.
The tongue emoji. The one that's just like just a tongue. They use that one a lot.
I didn't know the blind were so orally fixated.
Oh, they are. They are. Everybody thinks it's all about the touch, but you know, they love the tongue.
I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, my phone overheated. I guess I have to hold it so it doesn't do that. I put it in the freezer. I figured I'd cool it down fast, and it cooled it down right away.
Well, you got back. You know, last time we were talking, and you got back as we were talking to Larry Hankin about his porno past. Now we were talking about Laura was talking about how the number one emoji for blind people is the tongue.
Yeah.
And people think that since their sense of touch is heightened. That's how to sexually turn them on, but really it's the tongue.
Interesting. Yeah. I missed that.
Well, that's why I want to bring you up to speed, because we're talking sex now with Laura. And as I said, the other podcasts I've heard her on, they're like, she talks about her, you know, her struggles, and they're playing like Lifetime music and violins in the background. But you're on the Dark Marsh show. We're talking about sex.
Yeah.
I've never had sex with a blind woman, but I would imagine... Depending on the blind woman, it could be pretty amazing.
It's great. I've had sex with many blind women, and it's nice.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah.
So the blind led the blind? Like, a couple times I've done this, and it was one of the best things I ever did, was I got blindfolded, and she got blindfolded. Mm-hmm. And it was hot. People are like, no, one person has to not be blindfolded. I'm like, no. You got to fumble around in the dark and find places. And it's the whole finding those places.
Mm-hmm. That does sound like experience, because you're going to be exploring each other.
Right. You don't know where the vagina is, so you got to work your way to it or wherever the other things are. Because I know you, I know, Laura, you said, you've said in your act, and you said it from the first time you did comedy at the, that you're bi.
Yeah, well, I would say I'm pansexual. So with bi, it's just like man or woman. But nowadays, it's like, you know what, non-binary, trans, it's all fine with me. So it's the person, it's the spirit that matters. The body comes second. You know, the body comes second.
Right. As Nicole shows a close-up of her body. But
I'm trying to find a way to set this up where it won't overheat.
I know. It was just too perfect timing. Trust me on this.
Well, that's good time.
But I feel sorry for bisexuals these days, because it used to be like 10 years ago, somebody said bisexual. Wow, you're really free. You're really wild. And now it's like, you're only bisexual. You're not pansexual. What the fuck's wrong with you? What do you approve?
Yeah.
So
for reals.
Yeah. So you don't.
It's
yeah.
Like you just stop there. Like
you just stop at men and women. There's 28 yeah. genders. What's the matter with you?
For reals, like there's so much beyond gender. You're stuck with the penis and vagina. There's so many more body parts.
Exactly. And yeah. But yeah, I don't know. These days, this new generation, they don't seem to really care about the penis of the guy. They're all about the asshole. I don't know what's going on with that. But
it's true. They really love the asshole.
I say, to me, it's a treat. It's a dessert. It's not the main course, but that's just.
For me, everything is like laid out like a platter. It's a smorgasbord.
Right. And you have a heightened sense of smell and taste and touch. Oh my goodness. Now you do a whole bit. Go ahead, Nicole.
I was listening to this other podcast, and they were talking about how what base is eating ass. Like, where do you put that?
Where do you place eating ass? That's what we want to know.
I think it depends on the person. Like, if you are on like a blind date, you know, and the person's no just like right. And the person's just like really, like you're just really into each other, then who knows? Might happen that first time. Or if you're like years into a marriage or, you know, third date kind of thing, I think it depends more on the person. If the person's like kind of a, I don't know, I need to feel them out more, then it will have to wait.
Is it more extreme than oral, or is it less than oral?
I think it's more than oral.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, the flavor, it's different.
I was going to say, to quote Red Fox, you got to wash your ass. That's for sure.
You do got to wash your ass. Yes. And every other body part.
as Red Fox said, you don't have to wash the whole ass. You have to wash the ass whole. So, That's some classic comedy for you. So let me transition to that.
Wise words.
Wise words from a wise man, Red Fox, the late great Red Fox. Have you always been funny? Have you always been cracking up? I hate to do these cliched comedy podcast questions, but were you always cracking people up when you were not in elementary school?
Always. Always. It was my defense mechanism, right? Because I was a very awkward, you know, gawky kind of kid. And, you know, I'd always get like bullies who would try to like joke on me, or like, you know, try to say, hey, Skinny Bone Jones and Four Eyes, because they used to wear like those thick Coke bottle glasses, you know, and that was my good times.
Right.
And I was like, really? Like, that's the best you got? And then I would like just rib on myself, you know, and then they would be embarrassed, because my comebacks to myself were worse than what they were originally bullying me on. It started definitely like that, as like a defense mechanism. And then I just like it. It kind of breaks the tension, because I could tell when someone is like tense around me, like they don't know if it's appropriate to ask or not ask or whatever. And I'm just like, I'll be the first one to make a joke about it, you know, like let the air out of the balloon.
Well, I gotta be honest, Skinny Bones Jones is a little weak. I gotta be honest.
It is. It's super weak.
And there was this guy who used to make fun of me back in middle school. And finally I turned around and said, I wouldn't be making fun of anybody if my name was Ben Bobby. Okay, Ben Booby.
Nice.
So fuck you, Ben Bobby. All right.
Yeah.
You finally got your revenge.
I did. I mean, that's some middle school stuff right there. Ben Booby. It's so silly, but that's what we do, right?
That is what we do. But no, I can...
wishes he touched a booby.
I bet he did. Go ahead, Nicole. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was like, nice. She took it to another level.
Yeah, she usually does. And I just wanted to fuck with Ben Booby a little bit more, but
right, that was a terrible name. I can't believe that I was the first person to call him Ben Booby, and of course it really stuck. because they, it's middle school. So it was like Ben Booby. They thought it was hysterical.
Were there any puns on Nicole Six? So the name Six?
Yeah, Nicole Six.
Nicole Six, 7, 8, 9, 10.
No, I heard Nicole Six a lot. And then I also, the weirdest one was someone was like, it'd be cool if you were named Nicole Six, like the band. And I was like, Six is superior to Molly, in my opinion, but I guess
Nikki Six.
Yeah, my mom made sure I called Nikki Six. Like she,
nice.
But Laura, you know, and I relate to this because I was, that's kind of how I became a comedian, is just being like that. But do you think in these times, which it's funny because, you know, people talk about cancel culture, and I think that's a lot of bullshit for the most part. However, as you know, a lot of people take offense at the least offensive things, especially white privileged people. A lot of people joke amongst themselves. And I've seen a lot of people like, how dare you say that about a gay person or a black person or a Mexican person or this or that? And the person that they're saying it about, the Mexican, black, or gay person, could care less. But some white person looking from afar is the one getting offended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had people, have you offended people with your comedy so far? Because I know I have, but I can imagine somebody probably has a problem with your self-deprecating humor, which I think is great. I don't think there's another one. And also the fact that you're so, you don't hold back. You're outrageous. You have no, you're not up there for sympathy. You're up there to make people laugh and laugh hard. And you do.
Yes. I have had people, like get angry. I think so this one time I was doing this show and I made a joke about because I have like in my set a joke about like my first love, you know, who was also another blind person, and then at the end of that joke I was like pretty much comparing like, well, if I wanted to take the bus I might as well just date another person with a disability. And people got really mad.
That's funny.
And they were like, how dare you talk about people with disabilities like that? I'm like, hello. Like, it's a joke, first of all. Like, I get when people get like offended, you know, if you're just like in a different type of setting, but you're at a fucking comedy show. Like, expect to hear jokes, you know. Don't take everything so seriously. That's how we get through life, is by laughing at the hard shit, you know? But yeah, and then other blind people I've had other blind people get mad at me kind of around the same issue. Like, you know, they didn't know that I was blind because, you know, how are they going to tell? How are they going to see me? You know, and so they're just like, oh, how dare you talk about blind people? And then I would inform them I'm completely blind. And then they would be like, oh, I get it. And then just totally like, flip the card, and they're like, oh, that's so great that you're making jokes about blindness. Like, really? You were just scolding me.
I never even thought about that. The blind people in the audience that didn't know you and didn't know you were blind didn't actually say it. That's gotta be crazy.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Or people who like walk in when I'm already on stage. That's why I like to keep my cane like unfolded, because one, it has, you know, I use it as a mic stand. And then two, just in case you didn't know, like, here's a big clue for those of you who can see, I'm fucking blind, you know?
I have an animal?
A human animal, maybe. No.
Okay.
No, I don't have a service animal. I wanted to, but I think when I maybe start to slow down a bit more, because I can't take my animal to, you know, metal concerts. He'll like bust out his ears. But
although I've seen it, I speaking of Motley Crue, I went to the Motley Crue Def Leppard show. I saw a couple people with animals.
Oh, really?
I always get mad when I see animals in loud places because I know how sensitive they are.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they were very metal dogs. I don't know. I'm sure they put earplugs in, but I wouldn't have done it. But everybody's got service animals now.
I know. It's so frustrating. It because
fuck those guys. It should just be for the
It's frustrating because
how dare you non-blind, non-handicapped people have service animals? What's the matter with you?
Not it's kidding, it's frustrating.
Well, we also have the emotional support animals now, which I will be the first to say that my cat definitely takes away my depression. It is impossible to be depressed around him. He's such a cutie. But I mean, it's like there's always an excuse to have an animal. Like you can get almost anyone can get approved for emotional support animal.
Yeah,
but because you need one trained to help you with what you need help with in your daily life.
Now, Laura, do you think that do you think that's good, or do you think that's cheapening the whole thing?
I'm not against people having emotional support animals. Like whatever helps you is great. I just think that when it comes to taking your animal out to public places, like on airplanes and stuff like that, then it becomes an issue because not all animals are trained the same way, and which then leads people to discriminate against everybody with animals.
Yes.
So there was actually a big thing with Uber, they were not picking up blind people with their service dogs because of the fact that they didn't want a dog in their car, and that's discrimination. That's against the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Mm-hmm.
But I could understand Uber drivers being maybe they couldn't even see that maybe this person is blind and that's a service, a guide dog. Maybe this person is just a regular person and that's their emotional support dog or something, and that still should be fine.
Yeah,
but it just becomes a little bit more that's where the issues kind of start, is when it comes to access to public places,
It just, people, as long as the dog doesn't shit in the car, it should be fine.
Yeah. Well, even if it does, if you think it's bad enough that you got to pick it up, at least you can see where it fucking is,
Well, I mean, you charge a cleaning fee if it happens. That's all you got to do. Yeah. Or, I've shit in Uber cars. I know all about that.
For more money, you can travel with your pet. So those are right people that have your pet.
Lot of blind people don't have the money.
Of course. Yeah. It's also not fair to you because you literally need that dog to go where you're going. So it's different than me taking for a ride. Trouble's my cat.
Oh, her name's Trouble?
He's a boy cat, and he is very much adorable, but he is Trouble.
Just like his owner. but Laura, let me ask you. This is going by so fast. This is so much fun, as I knew it would be. You have a whole bit, and you did that in your first show about this one time at blind camp. Did you go to blind camp, and were there a lot of
erotic
hijinks that ensued?
Oh yeah, it was a tongue emoji before the tongue emoji was even a thing. Yeah, there's a lot of horny blind kids at blind camp. There is.
Wow. Camp is basically just all right, it's puberty, just have at it. But man, I can just imagine. Now, how do the counselors deal with that, or can they?
So there's a lot of people in the blind community that are very Christian and religion and faith-based, and that's fine, but sometimes their high morals kind of keep people from having fun. So you have a lot of teenagers that's this is the first time I'm out of the house, away from my parents. I'm here to meet other people, get fingered in different ways by reading Braille or otherwise. And then you got these counselors that are just kind of the marms of the whole camp, just making sure keep your distance, nobody's visiting after dark, and we're like, really, it's dark the whole damn time, what are you talking about?
So I'm guessing the boys were in one camp and the girls were in another camp.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of scuttling in the middle of the night between the camps.
Yeah It's kind of hard though, because when the counselors could see, they could see when we're trying to sneak out. It's kind of
and you can't see them. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of hard to be silent when you're tapping your cane around.
What kind of activity do they have you do at blind camp?
There's like a shot put. I like
blind shot put?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's shot put, bocce ball. That's a really big one. Water sports.
not that rail. Kind of water sports, Nicole. I don't know.
I was just thinking, I was picturing what it's like to be blind on the back of a water of a wakeboard.
Oh yeah, did you guys go water skiing?
We didn't get to do water skiing. That would be great. I know that they do have that now. At the time, they wouldn't let us. They just kind of let us wade around in the water. No. But this was like maybe like 20 years ago. So it's different from now. Now there's definitely more. Like they'll take blind people skiing, hiking, this, all these different things that like back then people were a little bit more like weary about, you know, not wanting to let the kids get hurt or whatever. So
back in my day,
they were really
very touchy feely and didn't want to risk too much with the blankets. Now it's like, yeah, fuck it. Mm-hmm. Let them water skate.
Yeah. Let them get hurt just like equally as all the other kids getting hurt.
as I think it should be. And that's the one thing, as much as I talk about cancel culture and this and that and the other thing, I think the good thing that's coming out of it is that some people are a little too reactionary, but I think the whole point of it is to treat everybody the same, and we all should be treated the same, and we all should get together.
Yeah. I think it's like tolerance. I think people have forgot how to be tolerant. You know, like you said, people are very reactionary. And there's a lot of reasons why that is. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's happened in society in the last decade that can cause a person to, you know, be reactionary or have kind of like this community PTSD type of feeling. But I think people forgot how to just be tolerant. I don't think there would be as much cancel culture if people could just wait to like really understand, like comedians, for example, right? Maybe the comedian wouldn't have gotten canceled if they would have waited till the end of the joke or waited for like the interview after the set to hear why the comedian, you know, like, why they chose the jokes that they chose, you know. But people assume, oh, that's racist, oh, that's discrimination, and they don't even give a chance for an explanation.
I don't think that too many people are getting canceled, and there is a whole like unwoke backlash, which is a whole nother thing, and that's become its own hack. I think the whole thing is, it's so weird that people are getting more tolerant and less tolerant at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just everybody's confused.
Yeah.
And there used to be a barrier or a border where, you know, where you could be. Now there's not. And people are like way too tolerant and way too intolerant at the same time. No, because the show we did was in Burbank. I didn't know you were in San Bernardino or thereabouts, which you travel a long way, and I really appreciate it. I didn't know you traveled that long away. But I did want to spotlight a lot of great things that you've done. And we barely scratched the surface besides, you know, tongue emojis and other things that we love. but you are very highly educated. You have a couple of degrees. I think a master's degree. Is that correct?
I didn't get to finish my master's. That's a whole other discrimination story. But I did go to school for it. I was going to get it in social work. And I have a bachelor's, a couple certificates, and a
sociology and genealogy. No, not genealogy. It's
gerontology.
Gerontology, yes.
Yeah.
Sociology is one of my favorite classes in college.
Yeah.
So I went where the money was and got a journalism degree. But
nice.
I'm kidding, of course. There's no money in that. Oh. But but sociology is, I mean, it's just such an interesting field. And I can imagine for you it'd be doubly interesting.
Yeah, I find it interesting for like learning how people are the way they are and why people act the way they act, especially like in society, like in group settings. It's interesting. I really like sociology. And
how does that inform your comedy?
Oh, a lot, because a lot of my like stories, a lot of my jokes are based on like human interactions, you know, mostly on like how people interact with somebody who's blind and how they react or interact and, you know, things like that. But it's mostly all based like that through like a sociological perspective. And I like to, you know, I guess it's like my love for Carlin, right? Where it's like, you want to make people laugh, but you also want to make them think so that mm-hmm. later on at night when they can't sleep and they got that joke stuck in their head, they'll realize, oh, you know, she meant this or that. Or the next time they get whacked in the shins by a person with a cane, maybe they'll realize, you know, like, oh, now I know what she was talking about.
When was the last time you whacked somebody in the shin with a cane?
This morning, actually.
Really?
Yeah. What did they... it wasn't on purpose. They were just in the way.
What did you say, Nicole? I didn't catch that.
I said I thought it was like punishment, like whack.
We got to get some dominatrices back on the show because we're missing that interaction.
I know. Yeah, I would like.
We'll
to
have you.
Like
we'll
a
have you on
blind...
with the dominatrix, Laura, anytime you want. You mind getting set on fire? Because we know a couple people.
I mean, I'm a fire sign, so as long as there's a nice bucket of water right next to me, I'll try anything.
It's very safe. Even Nicole did it, but
I wanted to do suspension one time. Like I really wanted to do that. The whole hanging by hooks thing. I really would like to try that.
That might be a future show. We'll see what happens. I don't know if we'll see if we can hook something up at Pirate.com Studios. And we know Matt Zane and other people that are into that. But
yeah, hook me up.
Well, we might. Don't tell us. Don't dare us. We might just. You have tattoos? I didn't notice. But
yes, I have my ears tattooed, and I got some here.
Oh, yeah, now I see it. Yeah.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to get more. I just, you know, didn't have the money. And now it feels kind of not a waste, but I mean, it's a lot of money for something I can't see, you know.
So, well, we can see them. They look good. Now, you have to take the tattoo artist's word for it, what they put on your body. So you're like,
good point.
They could've...
I freaked them out though. This one time I was getting tattooed by my friend's brother, and, you know, I had a couple of drinks, but I wasn't drunk. And I told them, I just want you to freestyle. Like, don't tell me what it is, just freestyle. And it freaked them out. Like, they were like, no, like, you're drunk. Like, you're going to regret your words. I'm like, no, I really want you to freestyle. Like, I trust you. I don't know. Now I think of it, like, if there's like a tattoo artist that's like starting up, you know, like who needs a little practice, they need a body. I'm open for it, you know.
Well, we know some tattoo artists too, so don't like you say. I see some future shows on the horizon, Nicole, with Laura and maybe Dangerous D and some other people that we know. But
I got more patches.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah. What's the sensation? What's the sensation of getting a tattoo when you're blind? Is it heightened? Is it more painful? I mean, I know that's all you know, but I mean, was it really painful when you got them?
Well, I think it was just as painful as like anybody else when I got them. But at the time, I still could see like a little bit, like I could see, you know, what I got. But now I haven't gotten, tattooed yet now that I'm like completely out of eyeballs. I think it would be the same, you know, maybe I'll get an eyeball tattoo on my eyelid. That would be kind of cool.
Oh, man.
It'll hurt.
We freak everybody out at the Renaissance Fair with that.
Yeah.
Nicole says go for it. I think I agree.
I am, but it'll hurt. But I would still go for it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of women that get like their eyeliner tattoos now, right, and everything. So it's just a little higher up, you know, like Who knows?
I don't know. I don't. You've already hurt my eyes enough this show, so I don't speculate on that. So anyway, so you're also an activist for many causes, mm-hmm. not just for blind people's rights, but for Indigenous people's rights, and mm-hmm. everybody's so divided unnecessarily. And for you to be an activist should be applauded, but I'm sure there's some people that are like, yeah, just everything's fine the way it is, and it really it is and it isn't. You know, it's better than it was, but it's not where it needs to be.
Yeah, I've definitely like become a little less radical than I was before, just because of like the societal temperature now. It's just so like, you know, before it was like, okay, whatever, like we all have freedom of speech, we all have the right to go on a public sidewalk and, you know, have our posters and make awareness about our issues. But like now it's such a, like people take it too far in a way where, like when people started getting run over at protests is when I started to be like, okay, like maybe this isn't, you know, something I'm going to want to keep doing because I don't want to get ran over. And this was big, like this happened to us even before it became like a national thing. I think just a couple of years ago, I forget where it was, somewhere like in the Midwest, right? During a parade, I think it was, it was on Juneteenth. It was a Juneteenth parade. And there was a truck that ran over several, you know, women, children, and the elderly during that protest. But the time that it happened to us here in like Ontario, it was like 2011, 2012. So it wasn't even like a well-known thing yet, like this is what people do. But it just shows that it just takes that one person who, you know, sees red and they're just like, I don't give a fuck. And they will shoot into a crowd or use their car. Like they just don't have no tolerance at all to be like, you know what? I don't like what you're saying. I should just drive the other way. Right? Like that's all you have to do. But people these days, they really want to, I don't know, prove.
They don't want to fight because they don't want to go out the back and forth. They just want to say, I'm right. And this is on both sides too, because there's a lot of shit going on the other side. And it's like, look, you know, let people have their say. If you don't like it, don't listen to it.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So I kind of like, I mean, obviously I'll still like advocate for, you know, a lot of like different issues that mean a lot to me. But lately, I would say the last 2 years, I've kind of been focused on just the disability community, like just mm-hmm. that. Because there ain't a lot of people protesting about that, you know, there's not a lot of people talking about that, making awareness about those issues, unless they themselves are disabled, right? So I feel like, you know what, that's where I'm going to lend my voice right now. We got plenty of people now that are fighting for Indigenous rights issues, environmental justice, and racial equality and all that. Like I think now I'm gonna kind of speak more on just disability because nobody else is fucking talking about it, you know? So.
But let me, it got deadly serious there for a second.
I know, right? I
hate to do that. So I'm going to finish up on a triumphant note because this is the whole thing. So you were corresponding with the comedian that was on America's Got Talent, which I forgot her name already, but she has
Marfan syndrome. Andy Erickson.
And she encouraged you to do comedy. And your first show was at my favorite club in Los Angeles, the Ice House. And I tell people, I've said this on the show many a time, Ice House and Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Yeah.
If you can't have a good set there, quit, because those are the best clubs. So you went up and one of the, I hope it comes back. I don't know what's going on with them because they're still closed.
But I know.
When they reopen, man, that's there's such magic in that room. And you went up and it's on YouTube. Your first set at a Marfan fundraiser, and you destroyed.
Yeah, I didn't tell them that that was my first show.
It's a good move.
Isaac, yeah, Flaco Martinez, he's another comedian with Marfan syndrome. It was his show, and when I reached out to him, I think he assumed that I was like already like a established comedian, and I was like, all right, well, I'm not gonna give myself away. And yeah, I didn't tell anybody.
You bullshitted him like every other LA comic.
It's the thing to do. Yeah. Like, I mean, I, whatever, I'm there.
That is the thing to do. I'm not disagreeing with you.
But yeah, I didn't tell anybody that that was my first set until I got off the stage. And then people were like, you're fucking lying. Like, you've been doing this. I'm like, no, that was my first official set. You know, I mean, I'd done comedy other ways, but not officially, right?
Like, how nervous were you?
Yeah. I was kind of nervous. I ended up going to that bar that's like around the way, you know,
right,
where you like go downstairs, mm-hmm, like a saloon or whatever. And I was like, all right, let me go. I don't want to show that I'm nervous at the Ice House, so let me go drink a couple beers over there and get a little liquid courage. And well, not so much liquid courage, more just like loosey goosey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I won't look so tense and nervous.
Yeah, just the right amount of buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good.
And so that was about 5 years ago, and you've been going strong. Yeah. Now you've had some health setbacks, so you know, it's hasn't been as consistent. And the other thing too that holds you back a little bit, I suppose, is that you rely on transportation to get places.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing.
You drive to this club or that club or this mic or that mic. You got to have somebody take you.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I ride the rails a lot, right? I go on the Metrolink, and that's how I make it out to LA most of the time.
Okay.
But sometimes there's places where they're not that close to public transportation, or, you know, the shows are late at night. So, you know,
Metrolink has weird hours. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I make it out that way by myself, I would have to pay for a hotel because I can't come back. And it just starts to really add up when you live off of SSI.
Right.
You got a budget, right? So I got my friends, and sometimes I'll alternate from friends to be like, all right, I'll give you a break for a couple of weeks and see if my other, you know, this other group of friends can take me or something. But yeah, that's more than my health is what keeps me from doing more shows than I would like. What is the transportation? If somebody could just fucking give me a self-driving Tesla, then my issues will be solved.
Or a chauffeur-driven limo, that'd be nice. On call.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a limo. It could be a hearse.
Yeah, chauffeur-driven hearse for Laura.
Yeah. Yeah,
Laura. Ambulance. I keep calling you Laura. Laura.
You can say Laura. It's fine.
I apologize for my whiteness. I was born this way. But you know. But of all the shows that you've done, what has been the best show that you've ever had? The most satisfying comedy show that you've ever had. Was it that Marfan fundraiser, or was it another show?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that one. Just
started
because,
at the top.
Yeah, like the energy in that room that day was insane. Like, it was just, everybody was in such a great mood. Everybody was laughing. It felt positive, but it also didn't feel forced. You know, it wasn't like, oh, okay, we gotta laugh because we're supporting this fundraiser. Like, it felt very genuine, and it was great. And that was my favorite one. Yeah, and then the fact that I was able to take a picture afterwards with Andy and Flaco, like, I went from like not knowing any other person with this same syndrome to suddenly meeting two other already established comedians with this syndrome, and it was just like the best thing. I was so blessed that day. Yeah, that yeah. Happened.
I think that's great. I think the three of you should go on tour together. I think you know, like the Kings of Comedy, the Marfan's of comedy, the Marfan Comedy Tour. I think is something that I would go to see. I think it's great. I'm glad I kind of navigated towards this. This is basically you finding your peers in comedy, which I think is very inspirational, mm-hmm. and all of you able to laugh.
Yeah. Because the three of us, you know, we have really serious life-threatening health issues, and we all find a way to fucking laugh about it and make jokes about it.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
But,
Laura?
No, Nicole just sneezed and it threw me off, but anyway, Laura. I want to thank you for being on. I had a great time with you. This just went by real fast, didn't it, Nicole?
It did. It was
those are the best shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I would love to do it again. I would love to talk to Nicole more about like the horror genre, because I'm a big fan of the horror genre. Yeah. Yeah. And then we didn't even get to talk about like metal music and me going crazy at concerts.
Well, before we go, tell us about that. I mean, Tell us how it's like with Laura in the mosh pit hitting people with their cane.
It's fucking awesome, right? Because I'm tall, right? So I'm usually, you know, taller than a lot of people.
You're 6 foot something. You're taller than me.
I'm just 6 feet. It ain't as tall. Andy's like 6 foot two, I think. I love the mosh pit, but honestly, I'm more of a headbanging, like. I cannot go through a show without headbanging. Like, I don't know how my neck is still intact after all these years, but it is, and I love it. And the fact that I like have my long hair and I just fucking windmill and fan everybody in front of me and whip everybody's skin with my hair. I'm one of those. So much so that like my favorite bands, like they see me out in the crowd and, you know, they recognize me, like I'll wave my cane. And
who's your favorite band?
So I'm kind of like this Braille necklace I got custom made, and it says Dark Tranquility. Okay. I thought since this is the Dark Mark show, I'd wear my Dark Tranquility necklace. They're a Swedish melodic death metal band. And
I'm familiar.
Yeah, I fucking love Dark Tranquility. I've gone to Germany to go see them at Wacken.
So envious. I've always wanted to go to Wacken.
Yeah, we should go. I'm planning on going again next year. Maybe not to Wacken, but like Sweden Rock Festival, Hellfest. I've always wanted to go to Hellfest in France. They got the metal festivals over there for sure. Like we have some too, but their metal festivals are really cool. And I it's worth the you know 8-10 hour flight to get over there.
I can imagine. Yeah, I guess you don't necessarily need a window seat, so you probably like the
aisle. Oh no, I prefer the leg room though.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. First class all the way. Laura, you are hashtag metal AF, and we appreciate you coming on. And definitely now that like I say, we've been trying to do this for a while, and now that you know, it looks like you've got everything situated with your eyes, we'll be having you on more often. And you know, I'm gonna talk to you about some other shows, but in the meantime, go on social media, go on Instagram, go at Badass Blind Comic.
Yeah,
I can't believe you got that. I can't believe that was still available. I can't believe there's another blind comic that didn't.
Oh no, I went as far as it's Instagram, Twitter, Band Bond. I even put it. I have TikTok, but I haven't figured it out how to do it. But I made sure that I could keep my Badass Blind Comic name, and so I try to open as many accounts as I can so that nobody else would take it.
And hopefully you get the URL too, badass.com.
I hope so. We'll see.
And do you have any shows coming up, or not right now? Because who knows right when people are going to be listening to this.
Yeah. Right now, the show that I have is October 28th, Knucklehead San Clemente. It's
Mistress K show.
Mistress K show, yeah. And then, who knows? I need to start going out to the open mics, let people know I'm alive and ready to get up on the stage. And then, you know, the shows will come.
Well, if you're in San Clemente, I would recommend coming to that show. I've done that show. Mistress K always puts on great shows. And if you're on the show, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. I'll also be at the Testament show in October in L.A. and Judas Priest in November. So if you ever wonder who's that crazy blind metalhead, that's going to be me.
If you see some hair whipping around at Testament or Judas Priest, that's Laura. And I didn't know they were coming. I might actually, we might see, or I might see you there. I don't know if that's the other way around. But anyway. See, I knew it was. It took me all show to do a blind joke. I apologize. So,
but anyway,
that's exactly what it deserved. Nicole, your book, Slow Burn, is if people are really responding to it.
Yeah, it's going well. You can find it on lulu.com, lulu.com. Just search for Nicole Six. And then I'm at Nicole Six Books on Instagram. You can slide in my DMs. I chat with people. I like to get to know everybody. So, yeah.
And I am Goth Comedian on all social media. Laura, this has been a delight. You've been, I thought you were going to be a great guest, and you've been even better than I thought. So, everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.